Dear Dhamma friends, today is the time for our group interviews. Get their meditation presented and get interviews and corrections. This is what we call Kamatahan. In Pali, in the English we call interviews. It's almost like the discussion, so if you have anything to clarify, anything to state, or anything to straighten, you may keep it in a written form, or you can just directly speak into the group.
Is it possible during breathing and out, there are two points of contact?
Yeah, possible. It's a good sharpness or good observation only. You can discreetly say that in-breath is here and out-breath here. Usually they appear like in one place, but if you sharply observe, the places are changing. In-breath to out-breath, as well as while you keep on practicing, also the point of touch. It's a shifting little. So each and everyone must be diligently observed.
So actually that is a gap between in and out.
Yeah.
It's the same as Madhyam Pratipada.
The gap. Yeah, that when you're observing a lot of, it is like when you are running a cartoon film in a slow motion. And when you are running the slow motion, you may find 50% of your screen is in darkness. And the splash happens, and then the darkness comes, and another flash happens, another darkness happens. And from one screen to the next screen, there were little changes. So our mind made the intermediate changes during the dark time. That is how the animation happens. So exactly the same thing happened. But the thing is, we can't run our machine slow motion. We are running at such a speed, we don't know how to run it slow motion. When it in a run is slow motion, in other words, we can say thin slicing of time. You can see everything happen in episodes. In between two, there's a black hole or gap, a dark area. And within that, the mind can imagine. And the mind can fabricate any story. So therefore, you have to observe whatever made the phenomena, the beginning, the middle, the end, as if you are an outsider, observe in a very patient way, without getting involved in emotionally, without getting reactive. Unassuming way when you're observing, just like the in-breath and out-breath, just like a cartoon film, you can see a lot of black spots, a lot of gaps, a lot of dark holes. And within that only our storytelling, fabrication, adjustments, manipulation happen. If you know this, what is happening, situation is fairly under your control. Otherwise, you don't know with whom agenda we are working with. Behind that, everything happening according to your habits, according to your addictions, likings and disliking. The complete story appear, but in between a lot of black holes, in between a lot of gaps. So whenever you see, you find the whole world is an agglomeration, nothing but an agglomeration. Here and there, bright spots are there in the dark screen. So you make a picture, you make a story, you make a continuum to have a story. That is how it happens. So unless otherwise you are to see yourself, you never believe it because it is happening in such a speed. So first thing is to little slow down. Slow down means increase the mindfulness, reduce the amount of objects coming in, and then one day you can see things as they are. Otherwise, objects are happening in a such a fast speed. Mindfulness is so weak, even if you are trying your best. So therefore, storytelling, fabrications, manipulations are going on according to your liking and disliking. Ultimately, once a bad thing happens beyond your control, then only you regret for what happened. If you know there is no assurance, there is no mistakes. Even if you know the mistakes happen, but you know there is no second person involved. You are the very person from the B, A, B, C, from the beginning to the middle and the end, it is involved, and therefore nothing to find fault with others, nothing to feel guilt, but instead it's a good chance for you to in future not to do the same mistake.
But then during that time, it also have some vibration. Should I just continue? Point A to point B. I don't have to say the vibration is not me, it's not mine, it's not under my control.
Some recognize this as a vibration. Some recognize this as a lightness. Some recognize it as a light perception. Some recognize it as a sound. Many, many facets are there. So this is the rock bottom and the ultimatum. Upon that only all the other drama happens. So you have to come down to the very deep layers of the consciousness. Then there you see the continuum, just like a canvas of the picture. If you are looking at the picture, you can't see the canvas. If you have to see the canvas, you can't entertain the picture. In the meditation, you have to see through the picture to see the canvas. And when you go to the canvas, two people experience the same. This vibration, this sound of silence or light or light perception, whatever it may be, it is throughout there. Upon that only all the other physical, verbal, mental deeds are happening. So you have to calm down these physical, mental deeds or see through them, then you can see the canvas. When you go to the canvas, all are human, no discrimination whether it's a male, female, Buddhist, non-Buddhist, developed person or undeveloped person, nothing. So therefore whenever you go down there, the mind is... Yes, we also fairly discuss. Mind find difficult to get the priority. What should I look into? Should I look into the gap in between or should I look into the phenomena in between gaps? So yeah, so that let the mind to decide. Let the mind to face it. Let the mind to go prepare it and see. Maximize it more and more, season it more and more, ultimately you may find they are both of them are reciprocal each other. With respect to the gap only the phenomena happen, with respect to the phenomena only gap happen. For with respect to the light, darkness happen, with respect to the darkness, lightness happen. So otherwise there is no game, there is no go. So let the mind familiarize it and then you find it's a cosmic drama, it's a universal energy. And so you have to be just a neutral observer without withdrawing inferential involvement, without a judgment. Just look at it. So that means you feel that inward trip. Day by day you are familiarizing. Day by day you are seasoning.
But I wonder why this point was not brought up for the beginner, because I think it might be easier just that more than just focusing on breathing and breathing out. Because once that you set up the point A and B, it seems to be easier. You have a pathway to walk along, from my opinion.
So you can be a good teacher. Once you come up to that, you feel like sharing with others. It is unavoidable. But the thing is, we have the huge communication gap. Because we have our own values, we have our own signs, we have our own symbols. So we love the facts more than, we love the symbol more than facts. We are completely engrossed with symbols. So how to communicate? So I think now we are doing fairly good. If you are going to be smart, we will mess up with. So the Buddha says, once you come to know, it's nothing, but you have to feel like sharing. Then it's another hell. With the other person, is other director, he is with the different symbols, different values, different things. And you are going to talk Greek, to person who do not know Greek. So what the hell? So therefore, wait till the situation mature. Inject in a very slow doses. Don't try to give a big, highly undigestible protein to the infants. They have to give half-digested food, easily digestible. And then only once it come up to the, once the digestive system become mature, only you can give the proteins. So therefore, you have to know the synchronization. Pumping in a little by little, piecemeal basis. Otherwise, it can lead to complications.
Can I ask one more question? Sorry. Feeling wanting. Actually pay attention to my feet, like my lower part of the body, right? And if some other thing in my body make me feel something, then I have the thought that related to another thing. I just want to clarify, I know that I should pay attention to only the lower body part, but I'm just wondering whether when that interruption by another body part lead me to the story from the past. So that is God. It's Nama, right? The faculty number six. I forgot the name. Citta. The sixth sense of faculty.
Yeah, it's Citta.
So actually, my body part that interrupts my thoughts at that moment, there is a citta coming in. So citta is not necessary to come up on its own.
You have to solve this problem this way. In order to keep your stream of consciousness, in order to keep your mindfulness, you appoint an object, and that is to say in breathing, the rubbing sensation at the nostrils, or you can feel the rising and falling of your abdomen. In the walking, you see the touch of the ground with the sole. So that is to keep the track with. While it is happening, lot of imaginary thing can happen, lot of realistic thing can happen, lot of internal thing can happen, lot of external thing can happen. So you can't do away with it. When such a intrusion happens, what must be the priority? That is the question. Am I correct? Yeah. So when that happens, if it is internal your body, if it is not an imaginary, if it is not a hallucination, that's also a valid object. Now you have already appointed object that is to keep in the left, right, left, and the left, left. That is also the touching sensation. And there's a mosquito bite happens, for example. And then that draws the attention. The mind goes there. And under such circumstances, what must be the yogi's attitude? Where should he advert his mind? So it says, whatever may be the grossness of the object will decide. Don't get involved with that. Yatha pakatam vipassana abhiniveso, that is what the commentator says, whatever may be the gross, whatever may be the more attractive, will decide the track. You just observe it. You have no controlling power on the object of the mind, because the mind is go with the natural selection. You can observe it. When and where there is no distraction, you keep the track with the primary object. When something distracts, you just verily know that has been distracted due to its attractiveness. You know the phenomena. You don't try to put it back and put it into the primary object. It won't come because mind goes with the natural selection. You can be aware.
So, we should not take the power. Rupa Vedana sannyā, sankhā, vinyā, due to that distraction, just come back to the primary object.
That is the point I am telling, that don't put the cart before the horse. Observe what is happening. Ultimately, your theory will come and explain after 1,000 time experience. Don't put with the first and second experience with the theory, and then you will never neutral observe. You are already conditioned. You are already with the premeditative ideas, so that is to observe, that is not to observe. That is the main poison to the vipassana development. You are just a mere observer. You know that your appointed object is not the attractive thing for the moment. It is not about the gross thing. The mind go by this natural selection. So you aware, when and where there is nothing, you come back to the primary object. When and where something come and cross your path, be aware it is a sound, it's a pain, it's a thought, it's a the sensation other than the foot, that much is enough. Because it is natural, at the beginning as I mentioned, it must not be an object with your hallucination, not much with the thinking. If it is, oh, you are wrong. If it is something happening under your very nose, if it is happening within your body, no harm. Mindfulness is intact. Now the mindfulness is going to see how the mind is working according to the priorities. It has its own priority on the security, on the natural selection. This is how it has been trained, our mind and the body. So we have to observe how it works without an inferential, without a decision. So it says evil is suspended attention and suspended decision. You see, you have no control, you have no agenda, you can't run it. If you are going to run, if you are going to adjust it, you are going against the trend. So at least in the meditation, you let the thing happen. Just observe. All the other time what you do is you are manipulating. Each time you manipulate, end up with the frustration, end up with the tension. Accumulate into some more neurosis. So here you let that happen and observe. But the rational mind come and say it is dangerous to let the thing happen, let loose, and therefore it always wish to control. Ultimately, rational mind itself do not know its own well-being. So if it is, so what is the decisive thing you are going to happen? Who is assuring that it is going to get your well-being? No. It has its own agenda. So at least to see the agenda, you have to behave like a criminal investigation officer rather than a police officer. Police officer go with the uniform and have the executive powers. But the CIA officer, he do not have, but he has observation power. He has no civil powers. He go with the normal civilian costumes and observe as if the newcomer, as if a stranger, he just observe. Meditate also go to the meditation field, not with the uniform and the cap and everything. You go like a CIA officer. Observe, after long, long observation only you can report to the police, and then the police will come and catch, if you are correct.
Then the same example that you gave as a bird yesterday.
Yeah.
When you walk, you see a bird and you get distracted.
Yeah. So distractions is a completely natural thing. So you have to observe. You call it an accident, but that is the life. That is the way life is happening, unless otherwise no mindfulness. When the mindfulness comes on, you feel like it is as a mishap or the accident or kind of thing. But when that happens, if you can observe without a distraction, without prejudgmental ideas, it's a completely new way of observation, new way of set of information you are going to get. You are observing yourself. So that is that's a very deep meaning of vipassana. You are behaving under a TV camera. And later you are going to see the clip to see how was my behavior. But in the mindfulness, both of them happen while filming, you can observe. filming, while it is right in the filming, and then on the spot you can observe how you act, how you react, how you assume, and you must try to withdraw as much as possible volitional activities and decisive activities. Let your mind to be a neutral observer. And then at that moment, definitely you are living. At all the moments you are living in a dream or you are planning to live and you are regretting about what is happening. But here, just like a mother looking at her own baby playing, anything valid. Because mother is fully attentive, the baby has given a whole chance to play. So likewise, you have to let the mind, let the body to play under the full surveillance, full diligence and the mindfulness, but don't try to adjust then and there. Let the body to play, and that is the only moment body is living. Otherwise it is restrained and trained and regimented, and therefore all the time the exercises are not balanced. You are not away with tension, all the time with tension. So when it is happening, specifically in an accident, body work with in the natural way. Ultimately, whole life will be an accident. Whole life will be an electric thing. Whole life will be a novelty. As you are with a kind of a projections, you are with the living, you are with a dream world. I mean, it's a necessity in a civilized world. But you must understand, we must live. Not only the programming and regimenting and all the kind of things, we must let the life to live. And that is the way we can give the highest well-being to oneself, highest compassion to oneself. So, under the light of mindfulness, no accidents. Anything really.
Okay. I really appreciate being here. When I meditate, so I get into a subtle state of breath. It's like a vibration. And then when I keep observing it, after a while, if I really keenly observe it, it just, I go somewhere that I don't know. It just was not aware of all the five angas kind of thing, and then come back again, just a little, like,
jerk.
Yeah, and then keep going back, you know, like that, and then it's really refreshing after that transits, it feels really, I feel more understanding of, you know, why all these, you know, I mean, how much mind and thoughts bother us, these five aggregates, how much it bothers us. So this is a good way to continue?
Of course, yes. I would like to give a little more, hoping it will clarify the situation. When the mind goes to the, or in, if I'm excused to use the Western psychology, when the consciousness try to understand the subconscious and go to the subconscious areas, you feel like you are going into an unknown area, strange area, and you feel like difficult to communicate. But even then the experience is 100%. That means the mind is at relax, but the sounds are there in the background, thoughts are there in the background, pains are there, but you know you are inside a bulletproof cage. They are at the periphery. And then you feel strange, because the situation is not under control. But if you are a familiar yogi, if you are an instructed person, you know you are in a better security now. You are in a better protected area. Let the mind to precipitate deeper and deeper and deeper. When you go there slowly, 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 or the intentional activities, decision-making activities, volitional activities, fabrications, storytelling, everything going to calm down. And after a level, it going through an abyss, an area where you can't explain. You don't know whether you are sleeping or not. And verily you know how much you go up to the nearing point or the threshold value, and then you topple into that unknown. And after a jerk, you come into know that the period you spent has not gone to memory. No signs. No what you call experience. Soon the gross sensation, gross perception, come only you come to know, previously I was in a very subtle perception. That subtle perception is so much subtle, it can't keep records. After jerk, after the gross perception only, you come to know, earlier it was in a no perception area. No perception area cannot understand I am in a no perception area. That is why once it becomes gross, it comes no. Earlier, there was no perception. But the Buddha says, whenever the perception happened, that become your attraction. When the jerk happened, that become your attraction because now you have to hear. Now you can see, now you can feel the body. Earlier, there was a gap. Then the Buddha says, if you are well disciplined, if you are well instructed, to understand, etan santang, etan panitang, etan upekha. It is very pleasant, it is very nutritious, what is that no perception. So you must not carry it away by the new perception arisen, instead you must try to go back to the no perception area, then only one day you will understand that is your real home. All the way you get the signs and the perception and everything, you lost. But the rational mind finds that area is as a lost. And where the science and expressibility and communication comes, you feel like assuming myself, egoistic, comparative and the conceit, desire can happen. So imagine how much training you have, not only going into that, everyone goes into that. Everyone considers an accident. Everyone considers something going beyond control. Everyone feels something uncertain. So therefore, the Buddha says, there is no second person hating you. There is no second person misleading you. Your very rational mind is the one. But how to do away with the rational mind? So that is a slow training. The wind and air, your mind goes to not the sleeping. I am not referring to the sleeping with the defilements. I am telling it's a gradual process through the mindfulness. You can go there. And once you go there, the appreciation of the very thing is completely, I am telling, unhuman. It is unhuman. So there are four ways. As far as you are human values, you consider this as an accident, a mishap, a wrong thing. So, you have to have so much of radical thinking. So, therefore, not only meditation can lead to it. Your mind outlook, your view, must be completely radical. Otherwise, rational mind read it as something wrong. So, this is the message Buddha wanted to convey with the sentient beings. But they vehemently refused Buddha. I can understand. I can understand why the Western world can't accept this nihilistic sunyata, which is not available, is the truth. And the day you accept it, you are liberated. As far as you are fighting and arguing and rational mind and linear thinking is there, you consider that shunya is something a mishap.
I actually appreciate it, and I find when I'm in meditative states, when I get up, it's really refreshing. It's just clean up. Mind is all clean up, you know, at least for a while. It really is refreshing. So if you address that part of what happened after.
So that is the way, then the Buddha says, moment you come to Sammaditti, Sammasankappa, Sammaditti means the correct perspective. Dhamma Thangkapa is you are now going to adjust yourself in order to maximize it. I mean, so far your lifestyle is not to maximize that. Now you have to completely, radically think then Samma Vacha, Samma Kammata, Samma Ajiva. You have to use kind of a talking, kind of a word in order to cut off unwanted talks. and to maximize as much as possible verbal relaxation. And the second thing, samma kammanta, you have to work because you have to get some earning for living. But reduce it to moderate living. Don't try to put up with this luxurious thing and this thing. Ultimately, you are the person get taxed and no limits. So therefore, go for utility value and then the activities must be minimum for the utility value. Use the rest for the solitude. Use the rest for your freedom. And samma ajiva, your livelihood, it must never disturb any other living being. It must never disturb any other thing. If it is so, you have to pay back. So therefore, the present moment must not be a burden to the future. Present moment must not be a burden to you, must not be a burden to another fellow being. So therefore, each and every moment, and very careful, to more attentive to have the livelihood. So once you come up to that perspective, only you are qualified to understand what is the samma vacha. What is the good kind of talking? What is the good kind of activity? What's a good kind of way of life? Till that people are talking, good words and good deeds and good activities, bullshit, nonsense. Because they are activating you, agitating you. You are going, go show. So that is the kind of world we are living. So whenever we are going to organize yourself, verbally, physically and livelihood-wise, every person considers you as a person who declared a war. You are going against the grain. The whole world is running with the music and talks and oratory and kind of thing. Activities like anything. Guinness, how to get the Guinness book into you put your name into the Guinness books. So much of activity. And the livelihood, you don't care about the environment. You don't care about the living beings. And then you have to pay it back. So therefore, then one do it, but cautiously, don't try to be smart. Do it in a very slow manner. Otherwise, you are creating repercussions. Otherwise, another kind of perversion going to happen and the kind of undercurrents are going to happen. So you have to understand how to be in this society in a non-frictional way, non-critical way. The Buddha says, the aviruddha pratipada, non-reactional way, unassuming way. And then people will definitely labeled as you are very callous, you have no sensation for the world, you are unsocial, you are selfish, you are only good for the forest, don't come to the town and the city or the society, you are unsocial kind of thing. So you have to say, yes, I am very sorry. Then only you have to find the equilibrium, and when you go a certain level and once you get the understanding, this way of living, then gathering the momentum. But the transitional period is very critical, very, very involved. And therefore, the number of stages. One thing is to get the correct perspective. Second thing is how to change your livelihood to fit into this correct perspective. The third thing is not to antagonize others. So because it's a one-man army. One-man army, the whole world. And your whole past memory and whole your abilities, so-called abilities, everything, all the credit will be a debit in long run. All your abilities will be a disturbance or burden in the long run. So therefore, you have to see the world from the other way. So after giving a talk when I was in Berlin, German person, what is the use for this, see things as they are? What is the use of this knowledge? How can I explain that? After giving, of course, 1 hour, 30 minutes for the translation, 30 minutes for my talk, I told it is very difficult, that's subject. Then I told, I can't explain, only thing I can say, What is the meaning of understand the real root cause of a disease? the main germ, rather than understand the symptoms of the secondary and tertiary infection. What is the meaning of understanding the primary infection? Exactly the same, understanding the root cause. So he says he can't understand. I can understand what he's telling. Without looking into from the this perspective, without understand the root cause, they are living very well. Why should we turn them back and ask them to swim upstream? So therefore, very difficult to prescribe it to someone, profess it to someone. But unless otherwise you do it to yourself, it's utter waste. Waste of time, waste of money, waste of other people, waste of the environment. Having such a brilliant method available, still if you are doing this way, you can't sympathize yourself. It is not a guilt. But it's a wastage of time.
Yeah, Bhante, the other day somebody asked me, are you blindly following this religion? Or this sort of, not a religion, this philosophy? What should I say for a question like that?
Of course, it, the blindness and the philosophy or the act, the thing you do, both of them must be defined. Because at the beginning, so-called philosophy or so-called set of instructions or religion, you don't know. So that is why you have to have a kind of a belief, kind of a relying upon that. And then, you are doing something, you apply yourself, and while it is doing, if it is verifiable, your faith is not an unrooted, unfounded faith. It is something verifiable. If it is not verifiable, he is correct. So verifiability is the matter. That is why the Buddha says, what he is prescribing is verifiable within this life, which is 7 years. If you are smart enough. So therefore, if you are not practicing something which is not, which is verifiable, I feel you as a fool. But at the beginning, if you say verify first and then practice, you never start. So therefore, at the beginning, you have to have a kind of an investment. And then and there, you have to make sure, am I on the something verifiable, tangible, with the concrete experience? If it is so, you will find we are not answerable to others' questions. Because you have your own justification by practicing, and their vibration is different. Even someone come and ask, he says, Buddha says, come and look. This is something you have to come and look. And when this question in another way, ask from the Upandita, when I was in Burma, he says, if you wish to reap harvest, you have to throw away seeds. You have to cast away seeds. From that only the crop happens. If someone says, I am not happy to cast away seeds, because it's the cream of the one best thing, if I cast away, it's a waste like. So how can he reap something? So therefore, at the beginning, you have to plant some seeds. These seeds are very valuable. So therefore, this is how it happens. But ultimately, you reap huge amount than you cast. So it's a matter of time. So some people can say it is a verifiable thing. Others can say it is a faith. So therefore, very difficult when some other person is asking to give a convincing answer. Because many are asking questions for the sake of questioning. It's a wastage of time. If someone is asking the question with a responsible way, we can put it into all to the work and we share with our direct experience and say. Otherwise, it's a wastage. So when I was earlier before the ordination, I am so much behind the fish, meat and the animal protein. And all of a sudden, I decided, of course, before the ordination, not to eat. All of a sudden, I became a vegetarian. So many of my university students start bullying and asking crazy questions and all the kind of thing. So one day one person came and asked, in our university language, why you decided all of a sudden to become vegetarian and being so animal foods, the foods are with so much of protein. I told like, due to my unfortunate situation, I gave it up. I am so unfortunate, because if you give the same price when you have the hostel tickets, tickets are the same price, either you can say fish or meat or vegetarian. So then he can't argue with me, stop it. If I am going to say vegetarian is good, till the next day midnight I have to go. He knows, I know, then I told it is due to my unlucky situation. I am so unfortunate. I don't know, earlier I used to listen to the BBC interviews, how crafty they are when they are questioning. And I have my fear doubt if someone come and ask the question, what I am going to do with such a person. Because they are media people, they know how to twist the truth. And they are asking questions and cornering you to the wall in such a criminal way. So they are, I feel that they are not using a knife, they are not using a bullet, they are not using a pistol, but doing the same bad thing. So there you have to understand, even if you are going to give a fair, justifiable answer, for what? No use. They are coming with their already prepared mind, so you have to avoid it, telling that I am a fool. What is the use of, I don't know. Avoid. That's kind of thing. But someone is genuinely asking, definitely you have to take time and give piecemeal kind of a treatment. You also can apply yourself and see.
There are two young people here wonder whether they are doing okay. You know, I asked my son to ask you questions, and I don't know whether they are going in the right direction.
So it's a question of the mother, not the child. You are always, you people are always walking fingers. I am simply telling him, be mindful and mind your own business. Be mindful and mind your own business. They are unspoiled beings. Let them find their own way. Don't try to give directions. And we are much, much better than our young stage. When we were young, we had no such an exposure. So they are so lucky. And the roots, they know where to find the water. It know where to find the nutrition. Therefore, roots are never direct. They are going in a crooked way. Because they are always searching about the food, searching about the water. And it knows. And therefore, only thing is here to give and serve it. And let them have self-service. I think that is the best for me. But maybe I am talking irresponsible talk because I am not a parent, I am not a father, I have no children. But I would say even for the elders, serve it and ask them to have self-service. Don't try to give a served plate. It's a kind of influence. From the Asiatic point of view, always give a served plate. But in the West, you have the buffet. You go and serve yourself. So we have to understand the pros and cons in both the methods. But for we Asiatic, we find the good part of this. But for the Asiatic point of view, it is less compassionate. Because in the Asiatic people, you go and serve it and give and everything services, they consider it's a kind of appealing thing. In the raising the children also, make the situation clear, let them to decide. And the only thing they have to understand, you are answerable to what you are selecting. Morally responsible about what you do. But we are ready to sympathize, we are ready to share with them, but we can't do away with this comma and comma result theory. It is common for everyone. One day we will listen to their voice.
Panthi, is it possible to have body, kanta and relative terms quicker than your mind, sir? Because sometimes what happens is as soon as I sit down I feel like I can't even feel my breath, but I feel like my mind is still sufficient, so not as deep as my breath.
So that indicates kind of a concentration is taking place and that means body is quite settling down, but the mind is still with the ripples. So that means synchronize has not come, but it's good for good thing. Something happened good. This kind of thing happens only in a residential retreats. Because the conditioning, what today's sitting is conditioned, the next day sitting, next sitting. So it has its cumulative effect. But if you have a multitasking kind of thing, hardly you get... Of course, this is much a treatment of the multitasking character. This is what we need, but you can't get it. When you come to a retreat, in the second day, third day, fourth day onward, the body acclimatizes into this timetable, and ultimately, by the time of sitting happen, it already come and sit, and very calm and quiet. Mind can see, still mind with the ripples, and can see the body is there. And you have to daily make a point to make this comfortability more and more, make this symmetry more and more. That means regularity is one aspect. Sitting in the same time, in the same place, in the same kind of thing, it appears like going against the grain, but ultimately body very quickly acclimatizes into that. Fit into that, that indicates that soon you go there. It says in agriculture, if you are maintaining a barn or cows, milking cows, and if you are regularly doing, the time you go to the barn and start milking, everyone, the cows become prepared for milking. They start urinating and defecating, and ultimately the milk you can do. You go in another time and try, no milk. If you are going in the same person, go in the same time and do the same kind of thing, that sign, that signals are communicating with the cows, they are ready with the milking. So that is the way the body language, the body knowledge.
Like the alarm clock in the morning,
you get up at 4 o'clock. And then what is that? That is called biological alarm.
Yes.
Okay, it seems no more questions. So we can take time for walking meditation and we'll be meeting at 3 o'clock for a sitting meditation. Thank you very much for the participation. Yes.